Keen listeners of Eureka may remember episode number 1, where we heard the story of the entrepreneur, bespoke tailor, and menswear icon Timothy Everest. Well, things have come a bit full circle. This week we meet Luke Sweeney and Tom Whitted, who once worked for Mr. Everest before setting off on their own. Luke and Tom went on to create their now insanely popular and much-loved brand, Tom Sweeney, a decade ago in 2007. So how'd they do it? This is Eureka, a Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, Luke and Tom tell their story.
I've always been into clothing. Even as a kid, I remember I'd save up for that T-shirt or that shirt and then not have enough money to go out that weekend and enjoy it. All my family are in the rag trade. My nan was a seamstress. My mum worked in a factory. My dad was an agent for a cloth rep. So it was in our blood, you know. But no one in my family had gone into tailoring. For me, it was purely visual. I went to visit a tailor's once, as our old boss, actually, and it just everyone looked so cool, you know. It just looked fantastic. And that's what generally interested me from the start. There was no business plan. I didn't know anything on the financial side of it.
Well, similar to Luke as a kid, kind of growing up with your mates, it's about what you're wearing and how you look. And it's maybe a little bit shallow, but that's kind of what was important. Growing up, there wasn't that much to do back where I was from, but play sport and yeah, feel good and look good and kind of try and attract the women as well. That's kind of what it came down to. So I did like a work experience for Esquire magazine when I was 17, 18. So they did a piece on Timothy Everest and a few other tailors, Richard James, Botang, like at the time the upcoming younger tailors on the row. And I went along for the Everest interview, saw the place. Like Luke says, it was a great, amazing house in East London, saw it, the setup was brilliant. All the guys working there were cool and thought, yeah, how do I get a part of this? I was really keen to get involved, and there was a great older cutter there called George. He seemed to like me. I got on well with him, and he was the guy who was going to train me day to day. And he said to Tim, "Yeah, I'd like to take him on."
It's tough starting out, you know. You're running around doing the tees, and then you're working your way up, aren't you, Tom? It's not as glamorous as it sounds. You got to remember, back then, tailoring wasn't that cool. You know, it was considered quite an old man's business and a dying trade, and that was all we was hearing, all I was hearing. I remember I said to my dad I wanted to break away from the family business and get into tailoring. He said, "I'm mad, you know." But it's all I wanted to do, really. You know, I wanted to create garments and work with fabric and work with customers. So we weren't best mates from the start, but we were both young guys in the business, and there weren't many young guys in the business at that point, and we kind of clicked from day one, didn't we? Both had the same vision. It sort of just happened naturally, you know. Yeah, we were both had ambition. We were both ambitious. That side, Tim's Everest business was going in a different direction at that point.
It wasn't quite right at the time. A few of the older guys had left. Things were changing, and Luke and I, he was head of the Made to Measure, I was head of the Spoke, and we were both doing really well in our positions, weren't we? But yeah. I was thinking, look, you know, we can do something great ourselves. Do it the way we want to do it, give the right service, the product, how we want to do it. So,
you know, we didn't have many customers. I think maybe 10 guys come with us. We had a small room, 6x6, a cutting table and a mirror. The key to, I think, any great business is that it grows slowly. You make mistakes along the way, but they're small mistakes, you know. I think starting a brand is very difficult, I think. I mean, like I say, I don't think we've ever done that because we started out as tailors and we've grown our business organically.
We wanted to be, as 100%, we wanted to be in Mayfair. We felt it was right for the business. We love the area.
But we couldn't afford it.
Yeah, we couldn't afford it. So we just had to work enough to get to a point where we could do it. And also, even we looked at stores from day one, but as a new business, and tailoring wasn't quite as cool as it is now, going to big landlords, trying to convince them that these two guys, you know, can take on a space in a street like Mount Street. They're not going to just give it away without huge backing or behind you. We didn't really have that, so we had to start it naturally, like you said, in a room, in a house in Mayfair.
And we had no investors. No. You know, Tom and I started the business and still own the business now. We have no investors. So we really grew it slowly. And although we've only been around 10 years, we did grow it very, very slowly, didn't we?
Yeah.
And organically.
So to do what we did, we didn't need much money.
We didn't put too much pressure on ourselves, you know. And that sounds crazy, but we didn't have any five-year plans, did we? Or we didn't have investors to answer to. So looking back, you know, the first two or three years, it was just really fun, you know.
Yeah.
We had no pressure. We had a very low overhead. We were content on growing the business organically and naturally and slowly. So it didn't feel any pressure, to be honest with you.
No,
looking back, it was just fun.
Very simple, very clean. Like, there was never the kind. I mean, now is more, although the business is doing better, there's more pressure because there's more things we have to manage and look after. But back then, it was very simple.
I think we saw very early on in the business that obviously Tom and I can oversee every garment being cut or made. So then it comes down to managing the staff and making sure the training's correct, and the guys that come on board, making sure they're trained the way we like to see a garment made and cut. So that's very key. We're very fortunate. We have a really great team, you know, which we've built over the years.
Yeah, and they're young as well, because we found it easier to, rather than remould people that have done it a certain way for 15, 20 years, just to start afresh if they've got the ability, and then bring them through that way.
Tom and I are very hands-on. We have no partners, and we feel everything's quite manageable. So we do make mistakes. I'm not saying it's all easy and, you know, sunshine and rainbows, but at the moment it feels right. Maybe it was a good thing, but there wasn't much planning in place. I think sometimes when you set plans out, you can be disappointed if you don't hit them, you know, and things happen in business. And we never really had a five-year plan. We just took year by year, grew it very slowly. I mean, there's never been like standout mistakes for me.
There's a couple we probably nearly made, but yeah, I'd say luckily,
I remember the second year of trading, I remember Tom and I got together and was like, okay, because we had a couple of agents looking for potential new spaces, and it was like, okay, there's one come up on Mount Street, and it was relatively cheap, and was like, let's go for it. And we lost out, thank God, on getting the space. There was a two-year rent review if we had signed the lease after 2 years, and it just so happens the rent would have quadrupled and some if we would have taken the space. So we probably wouldn't be sitting here right now if we would have actually got that premises. But thank God we lost out. So that, you know, looking back, that was a close shave.
Yeah, I'd say because we've been, you know, we started in a sort of time of crisis. You kind of keep things lean. You're not too brash about decisions. So we've always been a bit more reserved about growing it. So I think because we haven't been that aggressive or taken on too much, that's why we haven't made like the big mistakes that can destroy your business.
Yeah, and I think maybe like Tom and I, we're very lucky. We work really, really well together, and we're very fortunate. And I think, again, sometimes when there's too many opinions on the table, you can be pushed into or make rash decisions. And
because we're on the same page about where we want to take it. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously we might have different opinions, but we respect each other, we listen to it. And
it's not like Tom wants to open 30 stores tomorrow and I don't want to open any.
Yeah.
You know, we really are on the same page in terms of where we want the business to go in the future. Just take your time, you know, learn your trade, whatever it is, and take your time and grow a great business, you know. And that doesn't mean to say you have to market yourself here, there and everywhere, but just really focus on the simple things that will make you great, you know.
Yeah.
In our case, it was making great bespoke suits for that one guy, and you're solely dedicated to that one guy and making sure he looks unbelievable when he leaves our shop. And I still to this day, I think if we keep things simple, and we'll be very, very successful in the future.
Luke Sweeney and Tom Whittett there, founders of the menswear brand Tom Sweeney, which turns 10 years old this year. Happy birthday. Eureka will be back next Friday. And of course, tune into The Entrepreneurs next Wednesday at 1900 London time. This episode was edited by Wei-Dong Lin. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.